Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel, the usual suspects, as we do every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. A friend of the show that's a friend of the station that we are always glad to hear from and appreciate his efforts to join us. Jeff Blum, the television analyst for Root Sports and your coverage of your home team, the Houston Astros, joins us on the HR&P listener line. And Blummer, thank you again for joining us. We always appreciate it. But we kicked it around here on the show to open, but just from a mental perspective alone and in comparing last season's team to this season's team, how big was last night's win?
Huge. It's good to be back on with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity, but it's huge. I mean, we can sit here and say that, you know, professional athletes don't pay attention to records. It's early in the season. But I think when you go back 2 years and understand that you've only won 10 games out of 38, it wears on guys mentally. And that's a history that I've been talking about. That's a history you guys have been talking about. It's a history fans have been talking about. So it kind of stuck in their craw. But I think with the way things unfolded, with being thrown at, they retaliate, they come back and win that game. I think it really did a good job of setting the tone and left a better taste in the mouth of Astros, but they're not done yet.
Now, Blummer, when you were here, when you played, that wasn't the mentality, right? Like I was explaining this morning that as a lifelong Houstonian and Astros fan, I always felt like the Astros were passive when it came to these type of situations. And a lot of that had to do with Bagwell, Biggio, the way they handled themselves and carried themselves. So it's good to see that fire this time.
No, I agree. And, Baggy and Bish had a very professional attitude about things, and they treated everybody the same. I don't know if they believed in rivalries, but they came up in an era where there was no interleague. There was no natural rivals, so to speak. It was just go out and do your business and get it done. I think things have changed a little bit with the Astros moving into the AL West and being a part of a 19-game series against everybody in the West, including the Texas Rangers. When I played with the Astros and we had that interstate rivalry, I think it was a little more media-driven. We knew it was three games here, three games there, and then we'd move on and try and win the Central Division. So that's where the separation kind of occurred, and there wasn't enough time to let that rivalry mentality percolate a little bit. But I think what the domination the Rangers have had over the Astros has led to what some of these young guys are feeling and expressing out on the field between Lance McCullers, Alex Bregman, and some of the big hits you're seeing from Altuve and Correa. Those guys are starting to show the emotion of what this rivalry is beginning to mean.
And I was going to say, Blummer, Jeff Blum joining us, by the way, on the HR&P listener line. But the one thing I was going to say is, in getting back to Barry's point right there about the way it used to be with Bagwell and Biggio, it was also don't ever give him any bulletin board material. And already Bregman had the tweet of, you know, let's go out and kick the Rangers' butts. And my radio guys told me that it was actually on the bulletin board in the Rangers' locker room. And it just seems like they've got this kind of carefree attitude of we don't care and we know we're a good team. And we're going to play like that. And you're so close to this team. The other thing that stuck in my mind, too, was how many games a year ago on the road, like the Angels game, the A's game, when they were down big, big numbers, and you just last year's team probably would have mailed that one in. And they just keep chipping away. And they keep doing what they need to do. And they keep stealing wins. Last year, I think they'd have mailed it in. Just give me the differences between last year's team and this year, and you can just feel that energy.
No, the energy is definitely there, and these guys have a chip on their shoulder. They understand after 2015 the target was on their back. They underachieved last year, and now this is their season because they've gotten off to such a great start that they've impressed upon themselves that they are very good. Now, as far as bulletin board material, how about we just take that and understand where both these ball clubs are at right now? The Astros are confident. The Astros are very good, and they are talking a little bit of smack. On the other side, the Rangers are like, oh, man, we're going into a series against the Astros. They're a better team. They had a better April. We're missing some guys. We're beat up. Our bullpen isn't doing very well. Hey, we've got some bulletin board material. Let's put it up and see if that'll fire us up. So I think the Astros came in with a little more purpose, whereas the Rangers seem to be limping into this series and begging for a reason to get fired up. And the Astros fired him up last night, and then they pushed him back again. So I think that it is a definite difference in mentality, but it's also that youthful exuberance and excitement tempered with, you know, a sprinkled-in veteran leadership that goes out there and gets the job done. It's kind of fun to watch.
Blummer, Keuchel with another strong outing. Is he back? Is he a Cy Young candidate? I mean, is he 2015 Keuchel?
All numbers indicate that he's either 2015 Keuchel or a little bit better than that. He's been putting up great numbers, 5-0. The last time that was done was when Roger Clemens did it, I believe, in 2004. So there is reason to be excited about Dallas Keuchel. It will be tempered because there is some injury history there. You just hope that he's doing the work in between, which I'm sure he is, in order to keep that arm healthy and ready to go. But as far as I'm concerned, five outings of seven-plus innings, a complete game mixed in there, and the command that we've seen over this last month, I'm pretty well convinced. I mean, we're a sixth of the way through the season, and he has yet to be beaten.
How big, Blummer, is the addition of McCann? Just simply because of the fact that, you know, now people are seeing the offense, and he's always been a good offensive player, but I don't know that anybody really had a grasp on just what a great signal caller and what just a calming influence he is on what is predominantly a younger pitching staff.
Yeah, I can't say enough about what Brian McCann has brought, and you're exactly right. We saw it last night. Last year's Lance McCullers in that same situation might have flown off the handle and gotten too excited, maybe lost command or tried to throw 98 miles an hour every single pitch, whereas Brian McCann is that stabilizing influence, and he encourages these guys to go out and kind of have that poised mentality because he's helping them and challenging them with their stuff and helping them understand how good they can be. And he's starting to unleash some of that in some of these guys. Even a guy like Dallas Keuchel, who's a seasoned veteran with the Cy Young, has been listening to Brian McCann. They have worked very well together. But watching the composure of a guy like a Joe Musgrove and Lance McCullers, Davinsky, these guys they were already good. Now they're getting better because they have somebody back there working with them. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, both him and Gattis, McCann and Gattis, the two bearded bald guys, they've been raking and tearing the cover off the ball. They've been putting together some great at-bats, so it's fun to watch, man.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP listener line. Yeah, Blum, I recalled a couple of days ago when you brought up the fact that McCann kept asking for the changeup with McCullers. He had more confidence in it than McCullers did, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I think that's part of his job that he understands, is that he's supposed to see things and help these guys in ways that they don't understand because they're so focused on pitch execution. And when you're standing on the mound, you know, the game starts to move a little bit quickly, or your mind starts to race a little bit, or you don't see the pitch the way that Brian McCann saw it. Brian McCann is understanding situation, pitch execution, and he's also trying to understand the hitter in the moment, and I think that's what leads to him calling some of those changeups, because I believe, like Brian McCann, that Lance McCullers actually has a relatively good changeup. It doesn't have to be filthy, nasty, Davinsky-style changeup. It's just got to be good enough to keep a hitter off balance and get a ground ball to second base, have these guys roll it over. And Brian McCann knows the situations when hitters are ready to rage on the fastball or maybe sitting on that curveball, that if he throws that 88-mile-an-hour changeup in there, he might get a swing and soft contact.
All right, now, when we said you were coming on the show, when we kicked off the show at 1 o'clock, and every since then, our listeners have been asking. Last night, you hinted at a story involving Doug Brokale, and we want you to tell that story since it wasn't TV friendly. I'm sure it's radio friendly. Like I get away with a lot on air, so we want to hear that story, Blummer.
Well, there's several. I mean, there was one in spring training where he was getting blasted in Kissimmee. And, you know, this is a real quick one. He's getting blasted. Guys, you know, we're basically playing with our backs to the field because the balls are flying off the wall. And he finally grabs the baseball back from me, turns to the outfielders, and screams at him, "Back the F up!" So right in the middle of the inning, he's telling these guys to play on the wall. And he looks at me and he goes, "Man, I don't have anything right now. These guys better back up." That was one situation, and then there was another situation. We were in San Diego, and he's getting rattled again. There's rockets coming down to third base. I'm diving out of, you know, I'm laying out, knocking balls down, and I'm throwing across the diamond. I finally take the ball back to him. I go, "Hey, dude, you got to knock this off, man. I'm going to die out here." So, you know, we have always had good back and forth, but he is definitely one of the more entertaining guys I've ever been around.
How about last night? Obviously, we don't know the details, but shout out to your partner, Todd, and hopefully everything's all right with him. But how nice was it to have Brownie back in the booth for one more night? Because it sure was fun listening to you guys.
No, it's always good, and I think you could hear the enthusiasm in Brownie's voice. You know, it is an unfortunate circumstance with Todd's mom passing, and, you know, obviously we wish him all the best, but to be able to have a guy like a legendary voice like Bill Brown to step into the booth is great, and why not have it be the timing of all timing to have him in there against the first Rangers series? So it's been good. He's always a calming influence, but he's also got some good baseball knowledge, too.
All right, Blummer, full disclosure here. If I know you've probably never listened to the show, but I've been on a rant for years now that I absolutely hate the Springer dinger, the saying. All right. I think that they're corny. Like, I think that like a Springer dinger is corny. The Colby Jack I was all right with. But I feel like most of those are corny, but I have a favor to ask of you. I came up with one on my own and I want to see if you would use this in a game. When Aoki gets that little slap hit to left field, can we call that an Aoki pokey?
Jeez. And you're worried about corny?
That's the whole point. I want to make it as corny as possible. I want people to realize that we, you know, this is it's a little over the top.
Do you realize you're trying to impose on the integrity of my show, man?
I know, but I think that would be it's better than Springer dinger. Who came up with that? Was that Worrell that came up with that?
I have no idea.
How's Worrell going to come up with it from a Rockets game?
It sounds like a Worrell saying. Let's be real. Like, that sounds like something Worrell would come up with.
Oh, come on. They hit their home runs from
Bumgarner. No, I can't give Aoki Pokey any time because I keep calling him Ted.
Yeah, you do. And on the air, I've caught that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, well, you shattered my dream. I was really hoping to see Aoki Pokey shirts one day.
And we will say this, too, because we covered the grasshopper story with you the last time you were on, before you guys even hit the road. And then I was singing your praises up and down, going, Blummer took everything we took on radio, and he used it, and it was big, and they put it in the broadcast. And Barry's the guy who goes, no, they didn't. They probably had that on the books way before you even talked to them, and it wasn't even a part of it. And I was like, oh, way to just let all the air out of my balloon.
Shattering dreams is what we're doing.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Well, you always make the dreams of Astros fans by stopping our show every now and then. We know you're busy. We know we got another one tonight. Go out and get another win, but we appreciate you spending some time with us, and always don't be a stranger.
No, I appreciate the opportunity, guys. You guys take care, and it's going to be a good night.
Aoki Pokey.
Oh, jeez. Jeff Blum, you can get him each and every Astros game on Root Sports as well as on our show from time to time right here on The Usual Suspects. We're going to step away for a quick break. Be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.